on 881. I'm Tom Hall. Welcome back. J. Wynn Resick, our theater critic, is here. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Tom.
So you have been to see The Phantom of the Opera. That's at the Hippodrome Theater through this Sunday. Is that the one? I don't know much about musical theater. I mean, I'm kind of more of a techno punk klezmer guy myself, but but is that the one, Love Me, That's All I Ask of You? Is
yes.
that in the Phantom?
Yes.
Okay, then
yes.
I like this one. I like this one. All right. You have my permission
Andrew
to
Lloyd
discuss
Webber.
This. This is Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's the longest running musical in Broadway history, 27 years or something.
But more than that.
More than that. Even this is a new production under the auspices of the show's original producer, this guy named Cameron McIntosh. So why are they changing? Why argue with success? Why fiddle with success?
Absolutely. That's the big question. This show has been running on Broadway since 1988, and it attracts repeat audiences. I taught a class for the Hopkins Odyssey program on Phantom one of the times it was here, and I had class members who had seen this show again and again and again, more than I had seen it. So, yeah, why did Cameron McIntosh do this?
It's like, why fix if it ain't broke?
Exactly. You know? But I think it was in part that he wanted to take advantage of technology that wasn't around when the show started and three decades ago. And he also apparently wanted to create a different touring version. This show started out on tour in England in 2012, and it is only touring.
So our producer, Rob Sivak, has seen it actually twice. He loved it. He liked it so much the first time he went back for the second time. I hear great things about a chandelier. I mean, tell me what's new and what's improved in this version.
Well, of course, the chandelier is sort of the most famous scenic image people have of this show. And in fact, the most obvious change in this production is the set. It's an entirely new set, and it's a pretty exciting set. It's by a designer named Paul Brown, and it is indeed a new and improved chandelier. One of the stage managers told me at a press event that it has more than 6,000 beads in it, and it weighs 1 ton, and it does some really nifty special effects that the original chandelier didn't do. I'm not going to spoil those. I will tell you that if you sit in sixth row center, there's a good chance the chandelier will come down right above your head.
So this comes in the house. This is not on the stage.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. Right, right, right. Teatro Verite. There also are a lot of fire effects, some having to do with the chandelier. I'll give a little away. But really a lot of fire on stage. I was sitting in row P, and there's a really big fire effect at the end of the first act, and I swear I could feel the heat in row P.
There you go. It's 6,000 beads in a chandelier. My wife has a couple of dresses like that, so I look forward to seeing this. And I understand, speaking of dresses, that the costumes are new in this. And the costumes, I guess, in the original actually won a Tony Award, right?
They did. They're not new. What may have confused you is that the costumes and the set were both designed by the same person, Maria Bjornsson. They both won Tonys, costumes and set. She died in 2002. This production uses her costumes, apparently uses some that didn't make it into the original as well. Since you're not too familiar with this show, I will tell you there's a big showpiece number, a big production number called Masquerade. It comes right after intermission. And it was a number that really showed off all of her costumes. Those costumes are still there, but when she did it, the number was done on a huge staircase. Now it's being done in a hall of mirrors. And that's the kind of room that actually shows up in Gaston Leroux's 1909 novel, the novel that all of this is based on. And I have to also say that for me, this production, more than the original Broadway version, which I've seen many times, this production really emphasized the theme of masks and mirrors, sort of who are we, what masks we wear in public, what's real, what's just an image in a mirror. And I brought you a little sample of that second act opener, Masquerade.
Masquerade from this new touring production of Phantom. Any changes to the plot or the score? I mean, those are so well known and so famous, you'd think it's if they did fiddle with that, they're doing that at their peril.
Well, and that's probably why they didn't fiddle with it exactly. There aren't any significant changes to the plot or the score, but there is a new director, Lawrence Connor, a new choreographer, Scott Ambler, and I have to say the tone of the show is different. This is a much darker Phantom of the Opera. Chris Mann, who plays the Phantom, is not the romantic figure that the original Phantom, Michael Crawford, was. Chris Mann plays him troubled and scary and dangerous. I wrote down in my notebook, 50 Shades of Phantom. And you really want Christine, Phantom's young protege and obsession, to get away from him. He's that scary. Katie Travis, who plays Christine, does really quite a lovely job. I don't know if this is necessarily a deeper look at Phantom of the Opera, but I do have to say, for those who have seen the show a lot, it's very refreshing to see a new take on it.
And yeah, maybe that's the reason. They figure they got so many repeat customers, it's time to, you know, juice it up a little bit and give these old-timers something new to gaze at. The Hippodrome has just announced its season for next year. I'm going to be talking to Ron Legler of the Hippodrome about that on In the Bromo next time, but give us a sneak peek. What are the highlights?
Well, they announced 7 shows, and they're all musicals for next season, and they're all pretty new shows. There are 4 of them that I'm especially looking forward to. 2 of the shows are from last season on Broadway. One of them is Finding Neverland, which is based on the 2004 Johnny Depp movie. It's about how James M. Barrie came to write Peter Pan. And then there's a show that I did see this past summer called Something Rotten. This is a very funny musical. It's set in the Renaissance, and it's about 2 playwriting brothers who are totally overshadowed by Shakespeare, who is a rock star. And so these brothers come up with a surefire way to compete with Shakespeare. They invent the first musical.
Ah, fantastic. I love the premise.
I brought you the song Welcome to the Renaissance.
Welcome to the Renaissance. Gotta give the audience what it wants. But it's not that easy. And if you're William Shakespeare...
That is Welcome to the Renaissance. It's from the new musical Something Rotten. It's coming to the Hippodrome next season. You mentioned especially looking forward to... There's 4 shows. So what are the other 2 that have piqued your interest?
Well, they all sound pretty interesting, but the other 2 that I'm especially looking forward to are award-winning shows from the 2013-2014 Broadway season. One of them's a small musical called A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder.
Oh, I hear great things about
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. It won the 2014 Tony for Best Musical, and it has the same source as that 1949 Alec Guinness movie, Kind Hearts and Coronets. It's an actor who plays 8 different family members, all of whom become the targets of a relative who's a fortune hunter. And the other show I'm really eager to see is Beautiful. This is the biographical musical about singer-songwriter Carole King. So it's a very promising season, probably one of the Hippodrome's most promising seasons in a while. My only regret, Tom, is that these shows will only be playing 1-week runs.
Mm-hmm. 1-week run. Well, that's what the Hippodrome's been doing the last couple of seasons. And so, you know, well, that's good. I'm glad Carole King musical's coming. I mean, she got me through my adolescence. So I need to thank her.
You
for
and
that.
A lot of kids,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you and me and a lot of kids. All right, Judy Russick, thanks so much. Good to see you. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.
You've got 5 more chances to catch Phantom of the Opera at the Hippodrome Theater this weekend. It closes on Sunday night. Information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Jaywin Russick will be back Monday morning with her review of Under the Skin at Baltimore's Everyman Theater. Also on Monday, more on food deserts and what the city is doing to alleviate them, a peek behind the scenes of next week's Democratic presidential debate, and a conversation with distance swimmer Diana Nyad. Nathan Sterner goes the distance as Maryland Morning's director and engineer. Rob Sivak, John McCone, and Kathleen Cahill produce the broadcast. Scott Seiss helps us out, as well as do our interns Lauren Ferguson and Brooke Savage. You can find Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville or online at zekescoffee.com. We thank Zeke's for providing coffee for our guests. Thanks also to Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts, who wrote our theme music. Garrison Kaler's up next. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. Have a super weekend, and remember, no double dipping.